Starting into a new series this morning for the next 3 weeks, a series on trusting God. We certainly can't exhaust the topic of trusting God in three sermons, but I intend to get some practical ideas of what it looks like to trust God in three areas: in provision, in suffering and difficult experiences, and in new experiences of life. So this morning we'll be looking at trusting God for provision. The nature of our relationship with God through Christ is one of trust. That's what our relationship with God is built on. We trust that God forgives our sin with Jesus giving his life for our life. We trust that God will resurrect us to eternal life just as he resurrected Jesus. We trust that God loves us, that he cares for us, that he knows what's best for us. We trust that he has most accurately revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. We trust that what God says is true, and that obeying God's direction leads to true life, leads to eternal life. Often the Bible uses the words believe and faith to describe the nature of our relationship with Jesus and of the salvation that he offers us. So in John 3:16, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." In John 5:24, he says, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." Or in chapters 8 and 11 and 12 of John, Jesus speaks of many people putting their faith in him. Paul in Romans 3:22 says, "This righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ." In Galatians 2, Paul says, "A man is justified by faith in Jesus Christ." In Galatians 3:26, he says, "You're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." So often we hear those words. We hear faith and we hear believe. We also hear trust in some places. Peter quotes Isaiah to explain our relationship to Jesus. He says, "See, I lay down a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." So we're called into a trusting, faith-filled relationship with Jesus. It's the basis of our relationship with him. So this trusting gets carried into every area of our lives. We're called to, and we have the privilege of trusting God throughout our lives, throughout life. It doesn't always come easily. We're actually somewhat prone to distrusting God. We're not sure that he'll come through. Is he able? Is he willing? Sometimes it doesn't seem like he's taking care of things in the best way. And so rather than trusting God, we worry. We seize control of our own lives. We do things our way or the world's way because of this proneness we have to distrusting God. So we're going to look a little bit in the next 3 weeks, what's it look like to trust God? So this morning we talk about trusting God for provision. That's for the things that we need in life. For food, for clothing, for shelter, for money to pay our bills. Proverbs 11:28 says this, "Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf." We have this tendency to trust in the things that we have, in what we have that way. But the scripture calls us to trust God for our provision. Matthew 6, Jesus is speaking to us and he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear." And then towards the end of that area, Jesus says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Jesus says, don't worry about all these things that you need, all this provision. Don't worry about that. Focus on seeking God's kingdom. Focus on doing the things that God says are important, and don't worry about your provision. Or trust God for our provision. In Luke 16, 25, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, if you remember that story, there's a poor beggar named Lazarus who sits outside the gate of this rich man, and he begs out there, and he would just love to have some crumbs from Lazarus's table, but from the rich man's table, but the rich man never pays any attention to Lazarus. As a matter of fact, Lazarus is outside the gate. He doesn't get to come in to the rich man's place. And then they both die, and we find the rich man is in hell, and Lazarus is at the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man at that point, he calls out and he asks for Lazarus to just bring him a little bit of water. He asks for Lazarus to be sent back from the dead to warn his brothers. And as he calls out, Abraham responds to Lazarus. He says these things aren't going to happen. And he tells Lazarus, or the rich man, he says, in your lifetime you received your good thing. You received your good things. He doesn't say to the rich man, in your life, you worked hard and you earned your way and you built up a good wealth for yourself. He doesn't say that. He says, in your life, you received your good things. Now, he's making a comparison between before his life and after his life, but the implication here is that whatever we receive is from God. That it's God that provides us. It's God that we look to for provision. It's not about how hard we work or how smart we are. Though those things have some effect. We're to look to God for provision. We're to expect Him to provide for us what we need. And so, as Abraham responds, he says to him, in your lifetime you received your good things. You received these things from God. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you trust God for your provision? How can you tell that you're trusting God for your provision? I find it to be a little bit tricky. Am I trusting God, or am I trusting that regular paycheck that I get every week or every month? It's the way it works here. Am I trusting God, or do I really just kind of expect, yeah, that paycheck's going to keep coming through, I'm going to continue to have my job, the congregation's going to continue to support this church, and they'll be able to pay me? Well, a good test about this would be, if you suddenly lost your source of income, whether you get a paycheck or whether you have a retirement check, whatever you get, if you suddenly lost your source of income with seemingly no hope of developing another source, how would you respond to that? Would you become anxious? Is there anybody who could raise their hand and say, nope, I wouldn't become anxious? Probably not. I'd be getting anxious. I think most of us would. So when I ask myself that question, then I have to say, who am I trusting for my provision? Am I trusting God, the one who provides? Maybe you've had that experience in your life where suddenly the source of your income was gone and you wondered, what next? What's going to happen? So sometimes it's a little hard to know whether we're trusting God. Jesus said, after the rich man, this is a different rich man than the one with Lazarus, but the one who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And when Jesus told him, sell everything you have and come follow me, he couldn't do it. He turned away and he walked away. Jesus said, after the rich man turned away, he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is telling us that wealth and prosperity are an obstacle to faith. It was an obstacle for this man, for the rich man. As I talk each week about trusting God, I want to present you with an obstacle that we have to trusting God. And today, I think that's one of our obstacles. Wealth and prosperity are an obstacle to trusting God for provision. Now, I thought about saying, you know, it may be an obstacle. But I don't think that's what Jesus tells us. I think Jesus tells us it is an obstacle to trusting Him for provision. The question is whether we overcome the obstacle. If we don't recognize an obstacle, the likelihood of overcoming it is pretty slim. So I think we ought to recognize that it is. It's an obstacle to trusting Jesus for our provision. Whether you feel rich or not, and most of us don't. Most of us here probably don't feel rich. But we're living in a world with greater luxury and comfort for a far greater number of people than probably any time or place in history where we live, the time that we live in, the place that we live. And we are prone to believing that our provision is due to our hard work, our intelligence, our frugal ways. I've been pretty faithful. And so I'm doing okay. We find it easy to say that we depend on God because we expect that regular paycheck. And if we lose one job, we believe we can find another. And there's a lot of safety nets to catch us if we have a short time downtime financially. And I'm not saying those things are bad. I just think it's an obstacle. I believe that Jesus tells us it's an obstacle to trust, to faith. We're prone to ensuring that our wealth will remain before seeking the important things of God's kingdom. Now, as I say all this, somebody might be sitting here struggling financially right now and saying, well, I sure wish I was in that place. And I'm not saying that most of us haven't been in a place where we feel pretty tested financially with provision. We've had difficult times when we've wondered, how are we going to survive? And we've cried out to God. Many of us could tell how we did survive, even when we could not see how it was going to happen. I remember times in our marriage, our early marriage, when I couldn't see how things were going to come out, how there was going to be enough money to make ends meet. And yet somehow, it always did. It increased my trust in God. When I went to seminary, things didn't all work out the way that we anticipated financially. We weren't in great shape. We got into credit card debt. We learned some lessons. And due to a house that we got during Hurricane Andrew and fixed up, we later sold that. We were able to pay off our debt and our school loans and to get a start on a house in New York when we came here. I consider that God's gracious provision through a difficult experience. In something difficult, God actually provided something that we needed, that He knew that we would need. So I think we've all had those experiences, and you may be working through one of those experiences right now. God can be trusted to provide. And yet, I never really worry about what I'll eat, or where I'd sleep. I haven't had that worry in my life except maybe for a couple of weeks after Andrew. And what a blessing that we had a church family. So I wasn't really worried that I was going to sleep on the streets. We had people that helped us out. So considering my comparative luxury and wealth and comfort, how can I gauge whether I'm trusting God for provision? How might you know if you're really trusting God? Outside of our response to a crisis, I believe that the Scriptures give us a number of gauges, a number of ways for those of us who are relatively wealthy in this world to look at and say, am I really trusting God for my provision? So that's what I want to look at this morning. We wealthy people are trusting God for provision when? Three things, and these aren't the only things, but three things. I'd like to read from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Gives us one of these things. Moses is addressing the people of Israel before they enter the promised land. Before they get into this place where God says, what? I'm bringing you into a land that flows with milk and honey, where you're going to be wealthy and prosperous. Where you're going to have everything that you need in abundance. And before they come in there, this is what God says through Moses. He says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he's given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, it's a nice way of saying when you're fat and happy, when you build fine homes and you settle down, and then he goes on there in chapter 8, and he reminds them of the ways that he provided when they were in the wilderness, when they were in a time when they knew that they couldn't take care of themselves, when he delivered them from slavery, when he provided manna in the wilderness, when they knew that they were depending on God. There was nobody else for them to turn to. They knew they were depending on God. He reminds them of those things. And then he goes on to say in verses 17 and 18, you may say to yourself when you come into this land and you're doing well, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Moses is reminding the people, when you're doing well, when you have what you need, and when you're not really feeling like, wow, I'm in a crisis here, I need God to come through. When you're not in that place, he says, be humbly thankful. Remember who it is that gives you everything that you have, and be thankful. Remember that it's not because of how great you are, but it's because God provides. And God has provided for you. So we wealthy people are trusting God for provision when we're humbly thankful. It's the idea of truly understanding that everything we have is a gift from God. And when everything is a gift from God and we really understand that, then we become truly generous, ready to share with others. The Old Testament prophet of God, Malachi, challenged the people of God many years later when they were in the promised land with a message from God. This is what he said. He said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Almighty God, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have enough room for it. God says, you can test me in this. Be generous. Test me and see what happens. But this isn't just a test of God. As a matter of fact, there's someplace else that says, don't test the Lord your God. But Malachi says of God, you can test me in this. But I think it's really a test for us. Do we trust God so fully for provision that we can be generous with our stuff, that we can be generous with what we have? After all, it's kind of fun to be generous if you aren't worried about where you'll get what you need. It's fun to give away other people's money, right? Well, it's fun to be generous if you're not worried about where you're going to get what you need. Of course, maybe it's about getting what we want, not just what we need. So maybe there's another step here in trusting God's goodness for us, even if we get, even if we give up our wants. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a few minutes. Now, tithing wasn't just to take care of the worship at the temple, but it was also to take care of the poor and the needy, the vulnerable, the widow, and the orphan. And I want to say one other thing about tithing. It's something that can kind of become a check-off. Kind of like, okay, check, I did that, I'm good. I tithe. Not to say it's a small thing. Matter of fact, if everybody in the church around the world tithed, I imagine at least in our country, there'd be more money than we know what to do with. So it's not a small thing. But it's also not meant to be a check-off. Because the tithe was meant also to take care of those who were in need, those who were invulnerable. And so in Matthew 26, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus says that whenever we feed the hungry, help the stranger, the sick, those who need clothes, he says it's like we're doing that for him. Like we're serving Jesus. And so we're called to be generous where there's need around us. Where we see need, we're to be generous. Our generosity is a test of our trust in God's provisions. So when we wealthy people are really trusting God for our provision, we'll be generous. We'll be able to be generous with what He's given us. I talked about wants a minute ago. Wants are often an obstacle to generosity. So another sign of trust is when we live within our means. We often produce a false crisis when we live outside of our means. We go into debt. We acquire bills that we can't afford. Bills that don't allow us to be generous. Paul said this in Philippians. Philippians 4:11, he said, "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I do everything through Him who gives me strength." I was just sitting here wondering this morning. You know, we think about Paul. We think, yeah, we know how Paul could be in want. He was in prison. He spent quite a bit of time in prison, not for anything that he did wrong, but for sharing the gospel. And I wondered, did Paul ever sit in his prison cell and give thanks to God for a roof over his head? Maybe that's what he means when he says, "I've learned to be content in all circumstances, whether in plenty or in want." In seminary, Lou Ann and I needed to use a credit card to manage our late rent from our house in Florida. It was Section 8. The government took 6 months to start sending the check. We were planning on that money, so we put it on the expenses on the credit card for those 6 months. There was no interest for 6 months. And the check did eventually come through for the Section 8 rent. We had a plan that we were going to get through seminary with no student loans. We eventually had to give up that plan. It wasn't working out. We got some loans. We weren't able to get rid of all the credit card debt. We were able to keep it on cards that had 0%. So we juggled it. After seminary, we continued to use the credit card for projects that we wanted, but we didn't seem to have quite enough money for. Things that it seemed like, yeah, we ought to do this or we ought to have this. And so we used it some more. Eventually, we decided this needed to stop. So we put the cards in the filing cabinet. stuck them in the folder with the bills or whatever, put the cards in there. Amazingly, where we didn't seem to be able to live on what we made before, now we seem to manage to live on what we were making. We didn't have to take the credit cards out. I can't really remember what we had to give up to do that. But it was a blessing to trust God enough to live within our means. To be honest, it seems kind of strange, but I think wealthy people have the most trouble determining how much is enough. Seems kind of ironic. But a sign that we're trusting God for our provision is when we live within our means. When we, like Paul, can say, I can be content when I'm in need, and when I have plenty, I can be content. All of these areas that we just talked about can be challenging for us. But guess what? There's benefits to trusting God for our provision. Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says peace is a benefit of trusting God for provision. Coming to God and telling Him what our needs are and asking Him to meet them. And if we have much, if we are wealthy, so to speak, managing that well, understanding, recognizing, being humbly thankful to God, living within our means, being generous. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's the benefit of trusting God. So whether you are feeling wealthy this morning, or whether you're feeling like, I'm not quite sure if I'm going to be able to pay the bills this month, we're called on to trust God, to trust Him in providing for us. I'd like to show you a little video this morning. Some of you have seen it in care group. Maybe some of you are going to see it in care group yet. But it's a video about a family that made some choices. They're a family that's doing well. And I think they made some choices that shows that they trust God. So if you want to go ahead and run that.
My wife and I met in college, and she's an actuary. So she sets the rates that agents charge for insurance. I'm a CPA by trade. I started in public accounting and now have been at Sears Holdings Corporation for 13 years.
So we both have been blessed to be in careers where we're able to make a good living, and we've been able to take some really amazing steps in our journey as a result.
Our pastor talked about an individual who had a gift for generating a lot of income, and he had capped himself at a certain point, and as additional funds came in, he just gave them away.
When he gave to the church, he gave so generously that a lot of his friends and family told him that he was crazy, and so he asked Bill to just remind him every now and then that he wasn't crazy for giving to the level that he gives.
That was something that my wife and I really resonated with, so we just began our journey of really looking at our resources as something that truly wasn't ours, and how could we manage them well and be able to give more of them.
We're trying to figure things out, what it was going to look like for us. So we decided that we wanted to live simply, to cap what we were spending each month, and to be able to give freely beyond that whenever a need arose.
So we have managed our finances in a way that we could pay off our house, we can pay off our cars.
We cut cable, we cut our home phone line, we've just simplified things.
a lot of people ask us, why don't you get your new car? Why don't you get a bigger house? And it's created some great conversations that we can say, you know, we don't need bigger. We don't need newer. We can live simply off of what we have, and that gives us the ability to give in more freely and to things that God's put on our heart.
So every time another dollar comes in beyond what we were already living off of, we have the freedom to use it to help other people. So when someone needs help, we want people to know that they can come to us and we have the ability to help them. And instances have arisen where friends have or family have needed help with medical bills, and we've been able to help them.
Yeah, obviously in this culture, our kids are bombarded with all kinds of messages of they need this, they need that.
And it's hard because we don't really want to feed into that. We want them to see that they can live differently. One thing that we decided to do this year was to give them $100 to give away. We wanted to see where their heart was, where their passion lied. When we've been out at restaurants, the kids have picked families in the restaurant where we would pick up the tab for the lunch, and they used their $100 that we gave them to be able to give away. We want our kids to see the difference that they can make with their little lives.
Definitely by setting a cap and having these resources that we can give, not only does it free us up to listen to God's whisper and to be able to respond more easily, but there's been so many amazing instances that had we not made the decision to become debt-free and give freely, we would have missed out on.
So trust God for your provision. Ask yourself, how can I know whether I'm trusting God for my provision? And whether you're feeling like I'm doing pretty well right now, or whether you're having a hard time making ends meet, God is faithful. God says that He'll provide. He tells us He doesn't want us to be anxious, but to come to Him and ask Him for what we need. I'd like to ask you to stand. And the worship team, come on up, sorry. If we were a church living in poverty, I probably would have preached a different sermon this morning about God's provision. But in general, we're not. We are reasonably wealthy, middle class in America. And so trust God with your provisions. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You. You have blessed us in many ways. You have provided well for us. And it's not because we're such special people, Lord. And so we're thankful for the ways that You have blessed us. Lord, may our hearts be full of gratitude for all that we have. Not feeling bad, Lord, about that. But simply asking, what do You want us to do with it, Lord? How do You want us to bless others with the blessing that You've blessed us? And Father, also pray for those who are struggling right now, struggling with what their needs are, struggling to pay the bills. And Father, I ask that You would meet their need. I ask, Father, that You would provide what's needed and that You'd give them the ability to release that to You, relieve them from anxiety, guard their hearts and minds with peace. For every one of us, Lord, help us to manage well what You've given us in gratitude for Your ways that You treat us and the ways that You take care of us. Thank You for giving us so much, Lord. And I ask that You would enable each of one of us in whatever situation we're in, Father, to find contentment in You, and Father, to be faithful as You have been faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.